Hi, welcome to the Publishing Business Virtual Conference and Expo. I'm Noelle Skidinsky, Editorial Director of Book Business Magazine. I'm pleased to welcome you to another great session, Digital Printing. Where is digital printing headed and how can it benefit your business? I'd like to thank our session sponsor, Xerox, a global leader in document technology and services, for supporting this event to help enable us to bring it to you for free. Xerox has a long history of innovation in developing digital presses, production printers and copiers, wide format printers, and workflow software, as well as providing document management and workplace optimization solutions. Before we get started with the session, I want to point out just a few technology tips on how you can make the most of the presentation, and I know some of you are going to be well familiar with these by now, but if you could just bear with me while I review these for anyone who's just joining us. First, if you have any technical difficulties, you can troubleshoot by clicking the Help button at the bottom of the console or send an email to virtualshowinfo@napco.com, and someone will get back to you promptly. Make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so you can utilize all the widgets and the bells and whistles on the console. And speaking of the bells and whistles, you can click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn what all the widgets on the console do and how you can customize your experience. And you can tweet right from the console as well. Finally, if you leave the session at any time, have to leave and want to come back in and view it again later, you can access the entire presentation from the auditorium in the Publishing Business Virtual Event On Demand environment, which will be open for 3 months beginning Monday, October 31st. So now on to the good stuff. I'm pleased to introduce today's moderator, Toby Coburn, Director at InterQuest. Welcome, Toby.
Thank you, Noelle. Welcome to today's session on digital book printing, and thank you for attending. My name is Toby Coburn, and I will be the moderator of the session. I have been a director at InterQuest for the past 8 years. InterQuest is a market and technology research and consulting firm in the field of digital printing and publishing. We have been producing research reports and seminars in the field of book printing and publishing for over a decade. We have conducted a digital book printing forum as part of Book Business's Publishers Conference for the past 6 years and will be conducting it again in 2012. We also have digital book printing seminars in London, Paris, Germany, Montreal, and Toronto annually. I would like to introduce our other speakers for this session. Blake Silber is president of Bridge Publications. Blake, please give us a little background on yourself and your company.
Thanks, Toby. I'm very happy to be here. So, Bridge Publications is the nonfiction publisher for all of Alwyn Hubbard's works in basically the Americas, Asia, all of Africa, and then we have a sister company that covers the UK, Europe, and Russia. So we publish actually in 50 languages, and we, prior to 2006, all of our printing was outsourced, and in late 2006, we entered upon a project to bring everything in-house, and we did that digitally, so that's what I'll be speaking about today.
Okay, great. Next, I would like to introduce Addie Chennai, Managing Director of King Printing. Addie, please give us a little background on yourself and your company.
Hi, Toby. Thank you for having me. King Printing is a short-run book manufacturer founded in 1978. It's a second-generation family-run business focusing only on short-run books from quantities from 1 up to 50,000. And we've been a significant proponent of digital printing since our inception. So today I'm hoping to speak to everyone about our use of the newest digital printing technologies and how that may affect the overall book business.
Great. Okay, Addie, Blake, and I will give our viewpoint on where digital printing is heading and how it can benefit your business. I will present a market overview. Blake will give a publisher's and a printer, since he does digital printing internally, view, and Addie will look at it from a book manufacturer's perspective. First, let's look at some trends in the market. I will begin by sharing with you a perspective of how InterQuest sees the market for digital book printing. Some of the key trends for books overall, and particularly for what we see in North America, is that there is a changing business model in the book industry, and publishers are experiencing this evolution in a major way. With pricing, companies like Google and Apple setting up their own business models, with Amazon, who is a bookseller and has recently gone into their own publishing business. They will be publishing 122 books this fall in both physical and ebook formats. Amazon is also talking about doing a Netflix equivalent business. In Netflix, you can rent videos on a monthly basis for a fixed fee. Amazon is looking at doing the same thing for books, where you would download your ebooks and pay a fixed amount per month. The ebook revolution. There is no doubt that the most exciting change in the book market over the past few years is the advent of electronic delivery. Everyone is talking about ebooks. It is true for the publishers, the printers, and especially the consumers. It is the major trend right now and has been strongest in the U.S., with many of the devices hitting the market before other countries. There has also been a major crisis in the U.S. with Borders, the second largest book chain, filing for bankruptcy, and since February having closed about 700 stores in the U.S. It is also true for other international markets, for example, in Australia, where the largest chain is also failed. Book sales have had mixed results over the past year. If we look at the retail sales based on the Census Department numbers for the first 6 months of this year, book sales have declined about 0.6%. But what we have to keep in mind is that during this time, for the same 6 months of this year, the total retail business in the U.S. has increased by 8%. So books are not doing that great compared to the rest of the retail businesses. Digitally printed books, on the other hand, have had a sharp increase in the same period of time. Digital printing is helping the publisher by facilitating better matching of supply and demand in the book industry. As I said, there has been mixed results of sales per segment when we look at book sales, which includes both electronic and print. Revenue has increased by about 3% overall in the U.S., while units are declining. The trade market has been the most impacted, while the professional and educational markets have not done too badly. A large percentage of the increase has come both from ebooks and electronic content. Let's look at the impact of ebooks. There were 4 million e-readers sold in 2010. This is just for the U.S. For the world, the number went from 3.6 million in 2009 to 6.6 million in 2010, and this number is just going to keep expanding. And we're talking about e-book readers only, the ones that are just specifically for reading books. This year, the projection is for 11 million e-readers sold worldwide. If you look at the worldwide market, it's now about 50% Amazon with the Kindle and 25% with the Barnes & Noble Nook. So 75% of the market is two players. Now let's look at tablets. The iPad is a big success with about 25 million units sold through August of 2011. It is estimated by the end of the year it will probably be between 38 million and 40 million units. The field might be changing a little bit over the next 6 months with Amazon coming out with their own tablet. And e-reader prices have declined. At the end of 2009, the Kindle was about $349. And in 2010, it was $139, and now we're looking at below $100. There are people that are saying by the end of the year, the reader might be free. That's Amazon's strategy. If they are selling a lot of Kindles, but they really want to sell e-books. Amazon is now selling more e-books than printed books. And according to one of the latest surveys, 12% of Americans own e-readers. This is up from about 6% last year. This is a very significant change in the market. Another big change is that at the beginning of this year, e-books accounted for about 10% of trade book sales. And we are now seeing over the last 6 months, this percentage raising to about 15%, and for some publishers, up to 20%. This year, we surveyed 10 of the leading book publishers in North America and 30 of the top book printers. The production volumes of the book printers represented about 65 to 70% of the volume of books produced in North America. We asked the book printers how many were involved in producing e-books, and 50% said yes. Some of the big printers have announced some programs such as Donnelly in the United States and Transcontinental in Canada. But right now, it's a small part of most of their revenues, in many cases being less than 1%. But in 3 to 5 years, they said that it might be 3 to 5 or even more % of the revenue. Two key trends, according to these big publishers in North America, are definitely ebook growth and development of multimedia offerings. The publishers have it to offer consumers exactly what they want, when they want it, and wherever they want it, whatever it is. If it's a printed book, if it's an audio book, if it's a video, if it's pages or chapters, they have to be flexible and deliver it where it is needed. Most publishers are printing fewer books, shorter runs, and using digital printing in their supply chain. We asked the publishers what is the impact of the economy on their business, and the key things they said were people with lower incomes are buying fewer books, especially on the trade side. The retail stores are reducing inventory because of the economy and running their businesses more efficiently. The economy has had some negative impact on the K-12 market because of reduced budgets. On the other hand, the economy has had positive effects on the professional books and the higher education market. That's because as people lose their jobs, they are going back to school to retrain for new professions and careers and need new skills where books are used in the educational process. Children's books are faring better than other trade books because parents continue to spend money on their children even if they do not buy books for themselves. It is also difficult for subscription-based books in libraries because of budget issues. We are seeing supply chain enhancements with fewer books being printed. Publishers are telling us that instead of the 100,000 book run, they will do an initial run of maybe half that size and then print in quantities of 5,000 or lower when inventories get low. This also helps with the warehousing costs and controlling return rates. Many books are being printed to order so that the books are first sold and then printed to the exact quantity needed. Return rates have also been a traditional challenge for publishers, on average in the range of about 20% to 30%. The publisher is responsible for returns, but when books are printed digitally, some publishers have implemented a no-return policy. We are seeing a small increase in customization of books in certain segments, for which digital printing is the only way to go, especially in the higher education market. Professors are putting together course books using content from various sources. So let's talk about digital book printing. Some of the major trends, of course, are the move from offset to digital. Most of the books are now printed offset, so there's a major opportunity for growth in digital, especially when you compare it to the other markets like transactional printing, where many of the statements of bills already have gone digital, and direct marketing, a lot of that, the direct marketing mail has also gone digital. Whereas in books, it's still a very small percentage. We estimate that in 2010, a little less than 4% of printed book units in America were done digitally. This is a really big opportunity for digital printing, especially with some of the new equipment that is raising the break-even unit levels of cost between digital and offset. More color with all of the new technology and achievements in both toner-based and inkjet-based machines have also been seen in the last few years. Self-publishing was relatively marginal, but it is really changing and growing. You now have major authors and writers who are saying, do I really need a publisher and an agent? Maybe I should get involved in self-publishing. As a matter of fact, the number of titles that are self-published in the last year were more than doubled what they were the year before, and conventional titles grew only a small amount. The move to distribute and print is also growing, with programs to print closer to the point of need. Transportation expenses and time to market are a big driver of these types of programs. Printing system vendors are evolving and developing partnerships and new technology advances. We'll probably hear a lot more about this in the next few months with Drupa coming up in 2012. And the growth of inkjet printing is one of the most exciting technology advancements in the industry. We asked the publishers what they were doing in regards to digital printing. 9 out of 10 of the top publishers we interviewed, and these publishers produce over half of the books in North America, are using digital printing today. And it's not just a small program for testing. They're really integrating digital printing within their supply chain, and we'll hear from Blake today about how they've done that at Bridge. Half of them said that they see no major challenges with digital printing. The publishers that had some major challenges were mostly in the areas of cost, especially on the color side. And the next major challenge is finishing. Top trends in the digital book printing market, according to printers, what they see is shorter runs, e-books, and the third one is better inventory management. The biggest change for the last year's survey is that e-books went from fourth place to second place, and according to the book printers. The other was that customization made the charts, which was not on the chart last year. Let's take a look at the North American volume for both conventional and digitally printed books. Over 3 billion books are produced in North America per year. In 2010, we estimate about 4% of the books were produced digitally. We expect this to grow to about 15% by 2015. The growth we see for digital is about 30% per year, while conventional offset is going to decline by about 4 to 5%. And overall, we predict that printed books will decline by about 2% per year. That's what we see for the next 5 years based on historical data and what the publishers and printers are saying. Within the segments, we see digital printing to have a large impact on the trade book market. These titles are primarily in black and white, and black or monochrome is working very well with digital printing, especially since we have inkjet. In the past, the limit for a break-even point between offset and digital was between about 800 to 1,000 copies. Now we see printers and publishers pushing this to 2,500 and 3,000 copies. Color is going to grow very fast. It's obviously smaller than the full black and white printed digitally printed market right now, but it's going to grow faster than monochrome. We see about 24 to 25% growth in monochrome impressions for a book a year and about 44 to 45% growth in color impressions for books per year. We talked to the printers about their use of inkjet presses. 30% of the printers we talked to have inkjet presses, and a majority of the printers that do not have inkjet presses are interested and are looking at installing them in the future. And the level of satisfaction is that over three-quarters of the printers who have inkjet presses are very satisfied. For the 22% who are not satisfied, they had some challenges with finishing and binding, paper, and pricing of books, especially ones that contain a high color coverage, both from a workflow challenge and a supply cost challenge. Some of the overall challenges for the printer with digital printing is, first, finishing and binding issues, second, workflow integration, especially for those that want to go into print-on-demand. Many more of the printers are seeing an opportunity in print-on-demand, and the workflow integration is a major component for producing very small quantities of books. Substrates and papers, especially with inkjet, are another major challenge. In summary, where is digital printing heading? We see a very healthy growth for digital printing. No one knows the effects of e-books on the printed book market, but it's a major factor that will probably accelerate the decrease of offset books, but help the growth of digitally printed books. Self-publishing is a driver for digital books, and in the last few years, we see it playing a much bigger role. Color will help fuel the digital market, especially inkjet color. Distribute and print is happening and helping decrease the size of print runs. And we will have to keep an eye on the adoption and interest of inkjet printing, which is helping drive the point of break-even between offset and digital even higher. Well, that's the 20,000-foot view. Now let's hear from a publisher and a printer whose businesses have benefited from digital printing. Blake, tell us about Bridge Publications.
Great. Okay. Thanks, Toby. Bridge Publications was established in 1981. I mentioned that we're the publisher of all the nonfiction works of Elwyn Hubbard, who's an international best-selling author. His most popular title is Dianetics, which most people are familiar with. And prior to 2006, we were established in 1981, and up to that point, all of our printing was outsourced. So that would be to offset printers, you know, Quebecor, Donnelly, and so forth. And what happened is that in 2005, a project was taken to basically take Elwin Hubbard's core works, which was a total of 18 hardcover books, and then a set of 14 different lectures. And it was a huge scope of work, and actually translate those into 16 languages. And then they were going to release all at one time. Now, what happened is, in order to do this very different languages, for example, one of the languages is Norwegian. Well, that's absolutely not going to be the same print run size as one of his titles in English. So we were faced with a challenge of how to produce all these books economically to the same quality and also, you know, at proper scheduling. And in order to do that, we decided basically and undertook on a project to take all of our production in-house. So we went from a traditional publisher who would outsource all production and brought everything in-house. We had to train our staff, you know, from the beginning, research, purchase the equipment, learn digital printing and book publication, and then we also, you know, went through definitely challenges, which I'll go over a bit today, and came out the other end, and we're very happy with our ability and our control now with our digital printing plant. As far as slides go, I just have some pictures, which I'll kind of roll through as I'm talking, and mainly it's just pictures of our facility so someone can get an idea of, you know, what it looks like. That's our warehouse as it is today. When we started in 2003, we actually installed our very first digital press, which was an Hewlett-Packard Indigo 1000, and then we moved on and we later got a DocuPrint 1050 black and white continuous feed press from Xerox, and that was for just one-offs or a few short runs. That was still when we were outsourcing. In 2006, when we installed all our equipment, we saw a huge boom in our sales and production. And then in 2009, we actually moved into the facility you see here, which is a 276,000 square foot facility just out of Los Angeles. And that was as a result of the expansion we saw after going digital in 2007. So that's kind of the background in a nutshell. And what I'd like to speak about today is our transition from the offset outsourcing to being a full in-house digital book production plant. And although there's obviously very different publishers and people on this call when they listen to this conference, I'm sure that hopefully there'll be parts that each person can take from this. The first question that we addressed, or we had to think about really, was, you know, why go digital? And Toby covered some of this, but I'll just reiterate anything from our perspective. And the first thing was variable run sizes. As I said, you know, we publish we started in 16 languages, and actually after going digital, we've now expanded that to 50 languages. So if we're going to publish a book in Arabic or, again, Norwegian, we even publish in Xhosa, which is a language in Africa, actually. So those are runs might be 50 copies of a book, whereas English, you know, our first runs of those books are actually usually around 20,000. On that note, one thing that is different with Bridge that we've done, and we actually worked with Xerox and Hewlett-Packard a lot on this, but most companies would consider print-on-demand. I think an average print-on-demand book, for example, Lightning Source, that their average print run is about 1.5 books. So they're printing one or two books most often. And we are a full-scale publisher, and we print everything in-house. So we actually will do digital runs up to 20,000. I know that Toby mentioned that that's moving up to, you know, 2,500, 3,000 for other publishers. But that is something that we've seen different in what we're doing, is we have gotten to the point where our break-even is about 20,000 in-house digital. And that's with the equipment and the staff we've trained and so forth. As a picture on the next slide here, you'll see some of our black and white presses. There's Xerox DocuPrint 1050s we start out with one of them, as I said, and we now have eight. And that allows us, with the bringing everything in-house and training our employees and bulk raw materials purchasing, that we can, you know, really do those runs. So variable run sizes was the first. Next benefit and thing we looked into was obviously inventory control. You hear this a lot, but when you are going to print you know, outsource something or print it, or even just print it offset, you're, you know, to get a good cost and price point, you're not going to be able to print 50 books, obviously. And again, all these different languages, and as well as they sell, it was very hard for us to be able to predict which languages are going to sell more and so forth. And so, with digital printing, inventory control is a huge point. Next point, control of scheduling. So we definitely have had, you know, issues with that in the past, as I think all publishers have, and we really wanted to be able to control that and print on our own schedule, and that's why we brought everything in-house. And the last point is, with offset printing, you know, to be an offset pressman, the training for that can be, you know, 7 to 10 years, and that's just for one pressman. And with digital printing, pretty much, I would say an average training period for our pressman is probably 3 to 6 weeks. 3 weeks for the initial training, and then 6 weeks they're kind of up to speed. And then, sure, it takes a couple of months for them to, you know, kind of get expert at it. But it's very fast, and that's something that, you know, made the transition to digital that much easier. And then the last point was quality management. We have pretty strict quality standards, and when you bring everything in-house, you can really control that. And there's actually a lot of things you can do digitally today with you know, actually better control with less wastage than offset printing. Computerized systems that you can use that sync up with your printers that will allow you to match designer proofs, for example, much easier. So that being said, I kind of gave a quick history, but I'll go through it again. Prior to 2006, everything was outsourced. Brought everything in-house late 2006, and it took us about 6 months to install all the equipment, train all the operators from scratch. We started with about 5 people that knew manufacturing. We trained everyone, and now we have about 90 employees in our manufacturing division, which run on about 3 shifts. 95% of all of our printing was done outside in 2007, and now 99% is done in-house digitally. The expansion we saw prior to 2007, we produced about 256,000 units a year, and then the year after we had our digital in-house plant and we released these Allen Hubbard's books, as I said, these core books, we saw a massive increase, and our production went up 11 times. We produced 2.8 million units in 2007. And it's increased from there. So it's definitely been successful for us. In our facility, we hold about 10,000 pallet positions of materials. And we use a variety of equipment from Xerox to Hewlett-Packard and for our color printing. And we have definitely seen challenges along the way that if you're going to do full in-house digital printing, that you're going to have to overcome. But as it's progressed, it's become easier and easier. I'll give you one example, and I won't go through all of them. But one thing, and I saw that was on Toby's chart, is substrates, paper. And that can be an issue. We work with Xerox, and when we first started out, there weren't that many digital papers, as an example. But these days on the market, there's plenty of different digital papers you can buy. You know, we ran into issues in the beginning of, for example, wavy books, you know, books coming out and definitely not the quality we wanted. But with the proper – that was using offset paper, and we actually worked with Xerox to get a good digital paper, and the books come out flat, beautiful, nice lay flat for reading and so forth. One other point I'll bring up, because she also I saw on that chart as well, that finishing and binding is an issue that a lot of people run into. And again, there are more and more materials for digital finishing and binding that come out. I know in the beginning there's people would talk a lot about lamination, being able to stick to, for example, cover printed on a Xerox iGen. There's a fuser oil that they use to apply the toner to the paper that has made lamination difficult in the past, but for at least 2 years now, that's not a problem at all. There are many digital laminations specifically. There's even digital foils. So if you have any concerns about that, I'm sure you could talk to your suppliers and your printers, and there's plenty of now raw materials that work specifically for digital printing. So all of that has allowed us to basically take, again, everything in-house. We started out with 16 languages, and we have progressed to where now we're able to print Mr. Hubbard's books in 50 languages. And I'll just go into a little bit more of the inventory control. It's pretty simple, but it really does work. And what it is that when we all of our orders come in. We just tabulate them, so to speak, at the end of a week. So that's any orders from we have from any of our organizations around the world, or for example, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com. We receive all our orders, and the computer then just automatically, we use an Oracle management system, the computer automatically checks what's in stock, and we really basically let our stock almost run out before we print again. So, you know, there's a minimum quantity, you could say, a trigger point, and in some cases that's zero. For a fast-moving title, that might be, you know, a couple hundred, and the computer just says, good, here's your orders. Here's how much you have in stock. Okay, it's time to reprint. And that allows us, again, not to have to do large runs externally, you know, in the hope that we've calculated it all correctly. And because things change, you know, things change very rapidly today. As an example, we just attended the Manila Book Fair in the Philippines, and we had this huge event there, and we're selling, you know, thousands of books right now in the Philippines, but that's the first time we've ever had the books in those languages. So due to our inventory control, we can keep up with that and manage that. I'm scrolling through some of the slides of our facility there. That's our warehouse. Again, 10,000 pallet positions. It's all computerized, and we do not have to keep stock that we don't need. And that's allowed us to produce materials in all sorts of different languages and keep up. And so digital printing has definitely been very successful for us, and it's gotten easier over the years with the equipment coming out and with, as I said, the raw materials, the ability to train employees, and we've had great success with it. So that's Bridge's story on that.
Thank you, Blake. One question, Blake. Do you do any content in color right now, or is it mostly the covers?
No, we absolutely do. We use all of our black and white printing is done on Xerox continuous feed presses, but we have quite a number of books that are color text all the way through, four color.
Okay, and what are your run lengths for the color books? Do they go up to I'm sure they don't go up to the 20,000.
Well, that's a good question. On four color books, we don't really do 20,000, but you know, we actually have done two color books up to 20,000. It's not very often, but we have, and those are printed on HP Indigo presses, and that is a tight price point, but we have been able to make that work.
Okay. Okay, great. Okay, next I'd like to turn it over to Addy from King Printing, and he'll tell us his story.
Thank you, Toby, and thank you, Blake. That was a great presentation. A little bit about King Printing. King Printing was founded in 1978. We are a second-generation family-run business. We have approximately 120 employees, and we operate three shifts. 100% of our revenues comes from the book market. King Printing has always been focused on the short-run book segment with reach into the educational, trade, and self-publishing markets. Digital has really been part of our product mix for a bulk of our existence. I'd say that 1989 was the first year that we entered into digital book printing. We've been noted as one of the pioneers in this segment because of our initiative to drive short-run books, trying to drive inventory down for our publishers and trying to drive time to market for our publishers. I want to jump a little bit ahead to inkjet. Toby really touched about inkjet and how important that is for the economics of book printing and the book market. Our first inkjet installation was in 2008, and that was also for a four-color inkjet press, and we continued with our inkjet installations every year following that. Some of the challenges that we've faced are decisions about near-line or in-line finishing. I think that's up for debate. It really depends on what your product is and what the product mix is that you're looking to produce. If you're a true contract manufacturer and you're looking to work with a number of different publishers, in-line tends to be a more flexible option. One of the bigger challenges beyond that is workflow. Just buying a digital press and just deciding that you're going to be able to produce short run is very difficult. You have to look at the end-to-end workflow, especially today when you're dealing with print-on-demand and ultra-short run. So if you're going to produce a million copies of one, how are you going to handle that over one job that has a million copies, which unfortunately hardly exists to date? For us, digital technology has really been a driver for printing to order rather than not printing to speculation. So we've worked a lot with our publishing partners to help them realize that they no longer have to print to store in a warehouse and then to distribute out to the marketplace. They can take those orders that are coming in and produce those books and ship directly out to their customers. This has been a big also market in the self-publishing arena. Just to touch on that, we've had over 9,000 individual independent authors that we've worked with, and they've really found that this model works well for them. They can do a short run and see how that goes. They can use that as a marketing piece. They can see if that builds some momentum, produce, say, 100 or 200 copies, sell that into distribution, and if that picks up, they can produce 2,000 or even 5,000 copies. We have some self-publishers that over the last 5 years have printed an aggregate of 50,000 books, and that's a pretty sizable run for somebody who's just selling out of their home. Digital, as we've seen it, has also driven higher frequency of orders, but lower quantities for each order, and we've been able to find a happy medium where publishers and the end users are not realizing or recognizing that there is a difference between the quality. We've really found that inkjet today, with the ink sets that are available, with the media and paper sets that are available, and with the software manipulation that's available, that digital print can be a viable substitute for offset. Overall, we feel that having a hybrid model would best suit all market spaces. So in our plant today, we operate cut sheet black and white toner presses, cut sheet toner four-color presses. Then we also operate roll-fed black and white and color inkjet presses, as well as heat-set web offset presses and sheet-fed offset presses. So there is a market for every piece of equipment that's housed in our facility today and able to support our clients' needs, which is really, as Toby said, being driven by the necessity for lower cost production, lowering the cost of inventory, and increasing your margins by better time to market. One of the additional pieces that's in our stable is ebook development. So we're able to deploy from one file out a digital book, an ebook, an offset book, and offer the entire gamut that a publisher may need. I think that printers really need to look at digital, and more pages are converting over to digital print. I don't want inkjet, though, to be the driving factor. It's been working for us, and we see it as a strong solution, but it's not the miracle. You have to understand that short-run book manufacturing is an overall look at the workflow end-to-end, from files in to books out. With that, I want to hand it back to Toby, and thank you very much for the opportunity to speak and present today.
Great, Addy. One of the things, Addy, what are the challenges? You've got a lot of different types of equipment with very diverse printing vendors. Tell me a little bit about your challenges and your opportunities with having that diverse mix of equipment.
Well, each piece of equipment that we house today really serves a purpose. They don't all overlap 100%. So certain presses operate better for four-color products, while certain presses operate better for one-color products. Offering different web widths means that you have challenges for inline finishing, if you would, for producing book blocks. And different presses are for us used also for different run lengths because of different types of speeds. We have presses that run anywhere from 200 feet per minute in a web-fed fashion all the way up to 650 feet per minute in a web-fed fashion in the digital arena.
Great, great. It sounds like both of you have really taken digital printing and had it work to enhance your businesses. Both of you, let's go to some questions now for both of you. Do you see, both of you do some type of electronic delivery, but do you see electronic delivery cannibalizing paper delivery of books, or are the two processes working synergistically, one helping the other? Blake, you want to take a shot at that one?
Sure. Yeah, you're mentioning e-books, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. I personally, for our model, we don't see it as a cannibalization, although it is potentially something to look out for. But it's just that it's another method to get your materials out there. Obviously, we publish internationally, so different markets are moving ahead faster on e-books. Again, with digital printing, we can control our inventory. So even as certain titles might lend itself more to e-books, because that is true with our publications. Some of our, you might say, more beginning works lend itself to e-books, where some of the more advanced works, people really want to have those hardcover books in their home or to use to study. So with digital printing, it helps because even as e-books will fluctuate, we'll be able to monitor those trends printing-wise and then even just produce the ones we need. So I think it works well.
Okay, Addie?
It's an interesting debate. We've seen that in certain segments of the book market that it has eroded away from ink on paper. Your first slide that mentioned that was the degradation in the trade market space, mm-hmm. and I think people look at that maybe as a more commoditized product that they may not want to have on their bookshelf, as opposed to a book that will continue being passed on and on for generations, or something they can always go back and reference. So it's a little bit of a disruption. I think a certain part of that segment will be affected. But overall, our feeling is that it's going to be living synergistically or in a hybrid model where there will be a certain amount of e-books, but there will be a significant amount of print.
Okay, great. Let's talk a little bit about digital color. Both of you do some monochrome and color. So how has the digital color, we've seen an incredible amount of new equipment for color, and quality is getting better, costs are coming down. What's the impact of all this new equipment on your companies and what you're producing in books? Addie?
Well, really, color has become more economical. So as you mentioned, it predominantly was one color. So back in 89, our first digital press was one color. Four-color digital printing at that time was, deep in a lab somewhere. And, as technology progresses, it becomes more cost-effective. So today, we're realizing the effects of all that R&D, where you can now print four-color cost-effectively to be an offset substitutable product. And it's something that you can sell to the market, and the market can move on to an end user and still have complete success.
Mm-hmm. Blake?
Sure. I mean, there's two. You asked earlier about interior text printing versus covers, and mm-hmm. both of those are different problems. And on the again, it's all due to the run size. So if we need to do a dust jacket that we're going to print that it needs to be full stamped, laminated, and so forth, and it's in, a language that's not going to be a large run, or a title that's not going to be a large run, there's serious wastage, and you have to overprint, store covers on the shelf, and with digital printing, that's where we found the solutions. And the quality has come up to the point where, at least for covers, and the quality and speed, that was solved several years ago. I think that as far as we talked about large runs economically, of say four-color text, and it's not the technology is not where we'd like it to be yet on that. Although of course everyone knows that, and everyone's working towards that, and that is going to come down to quality at that speed is not quite there. Although it's getting much better with the inkjet, but then you get into sheet size and speed. So those are the two points that they'll continue to push, and that'll allow us to take it even further.
Okay, great. Do you, Blake? When do you see inkjet maybe in your future? I mean, is it still too far out to predict?
Well, I would answer yes, it is too far out to predict, although I know it's going to get there at some point. I mean, the it is something we definitely want. We have several indigo presses, so that's a liquid ink technology, mm-hmm. but it's not an inkjet, and again, the speed is nowhere near close to an inkjet, or obviously offset is way beyond that. So, I mean, with the equipment I've seen and the trends, I think it'll be probably still a couple years before they bring it down to the scale that the speed, quality, and then the price point we'll want to have in order to purchase one of those machines. But I'm sure it will come.
Okay, great. Offset versus digital, where do you see it evolving in the next 3 to 5 years? I mean, do you think digital will take up a lot of what used to be offset with the break-even point rising? Blake?
I think like the answer to that question, obviously for us, we now do everything digitally, but just talking with other publishers and seeing the market, it really, again, depends on who you are and what you publish. As an example, if you're a magazine publisher, we actually have a company we work with that, you know, publishes magazines, and that's not going to be digital right now. If you're doing large runs of magazines, it's just four color and the speed. It's just not going to happen soon. And yeah, maybe someday when there's inkjet. But books, I think absolutely more and more are going to be coming to digital printing because just for all the reasons we've gone over today, I think it absolutely makes sense. And as the market changes, and even as e-books increase, that again forces everyone to go digitally more so, I think, again, for that inventory control and only printing what you need to.
Okay. Addie?
You know, it's really market-driven, I think. We've felt that we've been able to cross the break-even points of digital and offset, at pretty high quantities. You know, it all depends, again, on your trim sizes and your page counts and what you're producing. But as inkjets get wider, they get faster, they're starting to encroach on your standard web offset presses. And you're going to see that market eroding. I think a lot of offset web press users right now are starting to question where the run lengths will go. And as you've seen, they're all just typically going lower. And as inkjet or any digital device gets faster and more economical, that's going to really encroach on offset. So we're seeing that gap closing very quickly.
Okay, great. Just to close up, what does the future look like in your companies for digital book printing? Where are you investing? Tell me a little bit about where you see your company being in relationship to digital printing, let's say 2 or 3 years down the line. Addie?
Well, we've been a big proponent of inkjet. We've made significant investments in inkjet, and I think we'll continue. And that's been the general trend and vision of our organization is to be a leader in the book market, utilizing the best available technologies, and they're leading edge technologies and not bleeding edge technologies. They're really ones that are proven, they are vetted, and they're allowing us to produce day in and day out for our customers. So we're going to continue to invest and continue to look at what the next generation will bring and how that will be able to service our customers better.
Great. Blake?
Sure. And similar to as Addie described, we're very happy with our equipment set right now, and it is, you know, each piece of equipment and especially printing is for a different purpose. And so I think we're going to be set okay with that. And what we will monitor for sure is our ebook presence. I think as that changes, it'll be two factors, that and the emerging markets that we're now publishing in. You know, I mentioned the Philippines, moving into areas like Malaysia, South Korea. And as those markets and those languages expand, we'll monitor our digital printing. And again, as the ebook market grows for us, then that'll also be another major factor. And otherwise, we are definitely interested as well as faster, cheaper, you know, colored digital printing. And, you know, again, with our digital printing, we'll be flexible. And that's probably the main thing, and it's a good point to be in the market the way it is today. So hopefully we'll just continue to grow with that.
Great. Well, thank you very much to our two speakers, and I'm going to turn it back over to Noelle.
Hi, thanks, Toby. Thank you as well. You're certainly your market analysis is very always insightful from InterQuest, from the research you do. And thank you, Blake and Addie, both for being here and spending your time sharing insights with our audience. We do really appreciate it. And this is really an extremely important and growing topic in the industry, so we're just thrilled to have you here. And I wanted to thank you, our attendees, for joining us, and I hope you enjoyed the session. If you're interested in discussing anything you heard during the presentation, you can visit the networking lounge to chat live with other session attendees. We encourage you to do that. You can also visit the information booth to fill out our show survey to let us know how your experience was today. We do take your feedback seriously and use it to try to improve every webinar and virtual event that we put on. And be sure to check out the agenda for the rest of the day today. We have a number of really great sessions lined up, and we encourage you to view as many as you can. And if you can't watch them live, remember that you can add them to your briefcase and view them at your convenience in the on-demand environment. So thank you all again. Thanks to our speakers, and have a great rest of your day.
Okay.